Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. A trailblazer is someone who leads the way, the first to do something. Today, you'll hear about several accomplished trailblazers, including two who are both deaf and blind, and one who is actually sighted but doing groundbreaking work for people with disabilities. The first article came from People magazine. The date was last summer. It's about a woman named Haben Girma. Her name is spelled H-A-B-E-N. Her last name is G-I-R-M-A. The headline for this article reads, A Deaf-Blind Trailblazer. The first deaf-blind woman to graduate from Harvard Law School is devoting her life to achieving inclusion for all. The article was written by Eileen Nahas. By any measure, Haben Girma is impressive. Born deaf-blind, a condition that encompasses a spectrum of severe hearing and sight loss. She loves adventure travel. Here's a quote, "Have you heard of a blind person climbing icebergs?" she says, laughing. And she also graduated from Harvard Law School, the first deaf-blind person to do so, in 2013. But if you are tempted to call her inspiring, think twice. Here's a quote, "Some people use the word as a disguise for pity," she explains. "You're so inspiring," they'll say, but they're thinking, "Thank God I don't have your problems." Part of what Haben, age 31, considers her life's work is educating the world about the lived experience of people with disabilities. Yes, that is her term of choice. It's direct. Tiptoeing around allows shame to grow, she said. And she includes the fact that even well-meant words can wound. It's all in the service of obliterating common assumptions about what disabled people can do and making life more inclusive. A quote, "Society is constantly silencing people with disabilities," says Haben, who works as an attorney advocating for the disabled and has just written a memoir, a book, which is titled Haben, H-A-B-E-N. There's a sidebar which I'll be reading at the end of the article about the book. She said, "I want us to move away from feeling ashamed of our differences and instead embrace them." Now, about her, she was born in Oakland to an Ethiopian father and an Eritrean mother. Haben had more hearing and sight in her early years than she does today. At the age of 12, she writes, she could see the indistinct outline of a person sitting on top of a couch. That image fades more every year. At the age of 12, she could also hear people talking at close range. Now, although she can speak clearly and hear a bit, people communicate with her mostly using a text-to-braille system that she devised, in which words are typed on a keyboard and then transmitted via Bluetooth to a device that converts them to braille. Her childhood, she says, was, a quote-unquote, complicated. She attended a mainstream school, but, she said, missed most of what the teacher was saying. Socially, she also struggled. She said, people assumed I was rude if I didn't see them smile or didn't answer their questions. Mostly, they avoided me, which hurt. By the time she went to college at Lewis and Clark and then on to Harvard, she said, I learned to take responsibility for my education. Years of isolation taught me how to take charge. Still, she encounters daily roadblocks that she is fighting to change, like websites that remain inaccessible to the disabled. She says people with disabilities face so many barriers in the physical world. There is no reason to have barriers in the digital world. Dating can be difficult, she notes, in a society that frames us as incapable. She finds joy in books, dancing, and laughing with her friends. She says, I'm very happy, but I want a world where everyone feels included. There is so much work to be done. And next, that sidebar I will share with you about her book. It's called Sharing Her Story. She says, I hope my book will help non-disabled individuals recognize that people with disabilities are a talented and diverse community. Hobbins says of her memoir. In the excerpt below, which I will read to you, she recalls a painful moment in college when her own abilities were doubted. And from the book, "Friendships take time, but my roommate already seems like a potential new friend. Carrie, the roommate, loves dancing, traveling, and eating chocolate. We are a perfect match. This evening, I am supposed to join Carrie and two other persons on an off-campus adventure. But before we go, Carrie says to me, 'Hobbin, can I talk to you a moment?' 'Sure.' 'We're taking a steep trail, and I wouldn't want you to get hurt.' I smile and say, 'Really, I'll be fine. I've done a lot of hiking. I'm able to feel the trail through my cane.' Her roommate says, 'I don't think it's a good idea. There's a chance it could be a bit slippery. I really don't want you to get hurt. If anything happened to you, I would feel responsible.' I gave her a serious look. 'You are not responsible for me. If anything happens to me, it won't be your fault. Does that make any sense?' 'Oh, I would feel responsible. I'd never forgive myself. Please, it would make me feel better if you didn't come with us.' Her words stab my fragile first-year heart. I pull my shoulders back and say, 'I understand.' I stomp down the hall to my room, slamming the door on the cold, cruel college world. My stomach churns at the thought of spending a whole year with someone who thinks I'm incompetent. How do I resist ableism in my own room?" And this is a quote from the book called Hobbin, The Deafblind Woman Who Conquered Harvard Law. It was written in 2019 by Hobbin Girma, G-I-R-M-A is her last name. The article is accompanied by several pictures, one of her, a stately-looking woman with a bright red lace dress with her hair pulled back into a low ponytail. Also, the caption on that one says, "A passion for learning." Now, this accompanies a picture of her talking to a woman in academic robes. "A passion for learning. A lot of deafblind students don't get quality education," says Hobbin. And the picture shows her at her law school graduation along with her guide dog, Maxine. And she says, "I want to use my blessing to move society forward." And then there's a picture of her, wow, with President Obama's hand on her right shoulder. His left hand is holding her left hand. This is the caption says, "Hobbin was recognized by President Obama as a champion of change in the year 2013. And then there are two pictures of her, one showing her paddleboarding in Hawaii and the other showing her on the back of a horse, also in Hawaii. The caption says, "No limits. I am always going out of my comfort zone," says Hobbin, who travels the world for speaking engagement. She continues, "Discomfort is an opportunity for growth." Hobbin Girma. The next article, another trailblazer, if you will, comes from the Blind New World website, www.blindnewworld.org. Alexandra Adams, she is another person who is deafblind. And she starts out with a quote. The article starts out with a quote, "If I had simply taken the ignorant advice of others, I would never have known where I could have been today." Alexandra is deafblind. She has faced demoralizing, frustrating, and upsetting discrimination and is accustomed to hearing the word no. But now she's in her third year of medical school, almost halfway to becoming a doctor. We'll get to know her in this post from Blind New World. The title is called "Setting My Sights on Medicine, Insight from a Deafblind Medic." Her article starts out, "It has always been the case where if someone told me I couldn't do something, I would go out of my way to prove that I, in fact, could. Despite going to a residential school geared towards supporting students with visual impairments, nearly all the teachers discouraged me from following my dreams of studying medicine at university, saying that it simply wasn't possible for visually impaired people like myself to do it. So when I dismissed this advice and finally got accepted into medical school following an interview, I was elated. I had gone with my true instincts, my own and nobody else's, and I had achieved them. Since birth, I have been deafblind. I have less than 5% vision in my left eye and none in my right eye. And in dim lighting or nighttime environments, I have no vision at all. I wear hearing aids in both ears, which, without, leaves me entirely deaf to the outside world. In addition to this, I have recently been diagnosed with mitochondrial myopathy. This disease affects multiple body systems, thus leaving me with debilitating muscle, gastrointestinal, and respiratory disease. But I don't see any of the above being a valid reason for me to just drop everything and stop enjoying life. I have traveled the world solo. I keep forever a new list of different hobbies and interests topped up. And before my most recent diagnosis, I competed at an international level as a swimmer on the GB Disability Swimming Team, that's Great Britain, with a sponsorship for the London 2012 Paralympics, and more recently, the Great Britain Para Snow Sport Team as an alpine skier. Between receiving my offer and getting my results required for medical school, I visited the university 4 times, ensuring that all the support was in place and that the medical school was ready for my arrival. I was reassured that everything was in place and that they were looking forward to having me begin in September. Only just a week before moving into university, I was called up one night. The medical school announcing to me out of nowhere that they had changed their mind. They no longer wanted me because I was visually impaired. Just like that. My dreams of studying medicine were dashed. My parents pleaded that this was perhaps the turning point where I should just accept what has happened and that I should reverse, turn back, and reroute myself down another career pathway. But what had just happened was wrong, and I wasn't having any of it. A year later, I was accepted into another medical school, this time for a genuine start as a genuine medical student. I am now in my 3rd year of medical school, just about halfway to becoming a doctor. The discrimination I receive daily is often demoralizing, frustrating, and upsetting, but I am otherwise enjoying medicine and very much enjoy interacting with different patients every day, new and old. Medicine and illness is a fascinating thing. I am forever inspired and curious about how the clinical impact of disease upon the human body and the psychosocial responses of people entwine. And my wealth of personal experience as a patient, spending years at a time bedbound in a hospital, only treasures me with more empathy than I am continuously able to offer patients in the hope of helping them feel more reassured and comforted throughout their patient journey. In the summer of 2017, I took a spontaneous trip over to the USA in search of practicing doctors who were blind and deaf. It was safe to say that I was truly inspired, with the trip being the most valuable lesson I have had to date. I met so many wonderful physicians who were treating patients daily, those with no vision whatsoever, navigating the hospital corridors confidently with their cane, and interpreting X-rays and CAT scans in the same way as any other fully sighted doctor would. The deaf doctor, who communicated with me via rather fragmented lip reading, with me being both deaf and poorly sighted, was just utterly wonderful. He was so knowledgeable, experienced, and reassuring that kindness is the truest language of medicine, regardless of how much you can see or hear. Only a few months ago, I was sat down by a doctor who didn't know me, other than I was deaf-blind. The first thing he said to me was, "Imagine you are a patient. Would you want a blind doctor treating you?" "Absolutely not." I was then sent home by him. The doctor had made a judgment, an assumption, and yet what they had failed to understand, failed to see, was that I may not have as much eyesight as most other doctors, but I certainly have much more insight than many. Despite many telling me that I would never achieve my dream of studying and practicing medicine, I have come very far down that line already. An old principal of mine once told me, in response to my young self announcing that I desired to be a doctor, the principal said that it is far better to try, even if you fail, than fail to try, and then never know. I like that quote. High school principal from her said, it's far better to try, even if you then fail, than fail to try and then never know. This by far is the biggest and best piece of advice I can give anyone wanting to achieve their individual dreams, regardless of what disability you might have. If you had the vision, in metaphorical terms, you can achieve anything you really want if you just put your mind's eye to it. This picture that accompanies this post is me, she says, on my first day back to clinical placement as a third-year medical student last September. Only weeks before this photo was taken, I had been, drastic as it may sound, fighting for my life, intubated on intensive care for 3 weeks with respiratory failure, sepsis, and pneumonia. I think it's safe to say that nobody thought I would be back at medical school so soon, if not at all. It's amazing how we as humans can surprise many of those around us, but more so, surprise ourselves. You may find that you can surprise yourself in many ways if you don't let others prevent you from seeing through with your goals and dreams. And once again, this was a profile of a woman named Alexandra Adams from Great Britain. Her profile was written up in Blind New World, a website, blindnewworld.org. Next, coming a little closer to home, we have a professor. This article was in the Democrat and Chronicle the last Sunday of the year in 2019. This is from the city of Rochester, New York, where this program originates. It's from the Our Town section. It's called West Extra. A professor promotes camp abilities globally. This is accompanied by two pictures. I'll tell you about them now and then read the article to you. The first one is showing Lauren Lieberman, the subject of the article. Lauren Lieberman running with an athlete who is blind when she was in Ghana last August. In this case, the Lauren Lieberman is running a couple steps ahead of the blind runner. He has his hand on her right elbow. The other picture shows the distinguished service professor, Lauren Lieberman, and students from the College of Brockport. And they're shown in Ghana as well. The students volunteered at a mini camp abilities for children who are blind or visually impaired. And the headline of the article says, Prof promotes camp abilities globally. Visually impaired youths enjoy sports in Ghana, Brazil, and Ireland. The article was written by Corey Putnam, who's a guest columnist for the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. A college at Brockport professor is closing out 2019, knowing she brought joy and growth via sports to hundreds of blind and visually impaired youths on three continents this year. Distinguished service professor, Dr. Lauren Lieberman, who has a doctorate in adapted physical education, recently returned from a six-month Fulbright Global Scholar Program trip to Ghana, Brazil, and Ireland. The prestigious Fulbright Program allows U.S. academics to engage in multi-country projects that they design themselves. In each country, Dr. Lieberman introduced or expanded upon camp abilities. Camp Abilities, an educational sports camp for children with visual impairments and deaf blindness. She founded it in 1996. There are now nearly 30 camp abilities around the world, and the camp is so impactful. It was featured on HBO's Real Sports in the year 2015. Here's a quote, some kids came from 3 hours away to attend, said Dr. Lieberman of the two model campability camps that she ran in Ghana this August, along with for her Fulbright scholarship, along with the assistance of College of Brockport students who were studying abroad there, and physical education teachers from the country of Ghana. She said most of the kids had never run or swum before. A favorite moment of Lieberman in Ghana was at the University of Ghana, watching a group of six-year-old campers play goalball, a Paralympic team sport for athletes with visual impairments. She said the coolest thing was watching their elation the first time they played a team sport and scored a goal, Lieberman said. She continues, I remember thinking they're never going to forget this moment. So after Ghana, Dr. Lieberman stopped briefly in South Africa to speak and then traveled to Ireland. She was there from September to October to teach at IT Tralee in Ireland and consult at nonprofits that support individuals with disabilities, including the Annie Sullivan Center and the CARA Center. This is in Ireland. A key component of the Fulbright Scholar Program is for awardees to give public talks and to mentor students in addition to their primary project. In Ireland, Lieberman also held a model capabilities camp for 20 kids who were blind or visually impaired, and she also trained staff members from Capabilities Ireland. A quote here, "Ireland was fun because they already have a camp that has been in place for 10 years, but we are now expanding it," Dr. Lieberman said. The kids were just so excited to play. They crave more sports. Well, the final country on Lieberman's Fulbright trip was Brazil, where she conducted a model camp and spoke at several universities and conferences. A quote, "Brazil was challenging at first because finding kids for the camp and getting them there was a problem," Lieberman said. "Culturally, camps are not a common thing like they are here in the United States and other parts of the world." Once Lieberman was able to identify potential campers and secure transportation from their remote villages to the camp, it was a tremendous success. She said, "We packed the days with goalball, soccer, swimming, judo, taekwondo, roller skating," she said. "They had so much fun, and we broke down a lot of barriers." Dr. Lieberman concluded her Fulbright and returned home to Brockport in early December, this is December of 2019. She has received emails from physical education teachers in the countries that she visited, telling her that the residual effects of her model camps have changed their perceptions of what children with disabilities can do when it comes to sports. And she said, Dr. Lieberman said, "My Fulbright was really exciting because everybody I met in every country was so receptive and encouraging," she said. "Sport goes across cultures, and promoting sports for people with disabilities can be a common dialogue. My hope is that each country continues to run the camp." In the year ahead, she looks forward to traveling to Bangladesh to expand on the Capabilities there, celebrating the 25th anniversary of Capabilities and continuing to teach her students at the College of Brockport. She says, "I'm proud of what we've done with Capabilities. Brockport is really well known around the world as a leader in adaptive physical education. Seeing the depth of effectiveness we've already made around the world is really gratifying." Now, Capabilities has a website, and you know, this time of year might not be a bad time to start thinking about signing kids up for a summer camp. Capabilities website is www.campabilities.org. That's spelled CAMPABILITIES, Capabilities. And I did look up some additional information for you in case you are interested in checking out Capabilities. And they do accept people from all over, not just the Rochester area. This website was titled Capabilities, Unlocking Potential Through Sports. It was a radical idea in the summer of 1996 when Dr. Lauren Lieberman created a week-long educational sports camp in Brockport, New York, for children who are visually impaired, blind, or deafblind. To many people, blindness means disability, an excuse to exclude children from sports. Lauren believes in their abilities, as reflected in the name Camp Abilities, and exemplified throughout the week through sports and recreation, such as baseball, gymnastics, swimming, goalball, tandem bicycling, running, and kayaking. Camp Abilities is not just your average sports camp. Every year, the 28 and growing camps all over the world provide one-on-one instruction to hundreds of campers and train even more counselors to teach children with visual impairments. Most importantly, the children are taught to advocate for themselves so that they can compete in sports with their sighted peers when they return home. The model has spread to more than 19 states and 9 countries. Over the last 22 years, the camps have served more than 4,000 campers with support from an additional 4,000 counselors. Lauren's goal is to have a camp in every state and continue the global growth of Camp Abilities. At Camp Abilities, the message is clear. Every child has the ability to achieve. I found out that this year the camp will be held, this is in Brockport, New York, State University of New York at Brockport, New York, and the camp will be held this year from June 28th to July 4th in the year 2020. The phone number, if you wish to contact someone about signing up someone for Camp Abilities, phone number is area code 585-395-2629. The email, if you want to email, is campabilitiesbrockport01@gmail.com. And once again, the email address is campabilitiesbrockport01@gmail.com. Website, as I mentioned, is www.campabilities.org. Now, I've got one article here that's left, mostly visual, so I better do some describing for you. Stories to make you smile. This is from People Magazine as well. The headline says, "A blind golden retriever gets his own support puppy." You guessed it. When the Stipe family adopted Maverick in January, this is the puppy, they intended him to be a playmate for, a playmate for their newborn son, Asher. But the four-month-old golden retriever puppy, that's Maverick, had plans of his own, quickly becoming best friend and support buddy to their 11-year-old golden retriever, whose name is Charlie. Charlie had both eyes removed due to glaucoma. Here's a quote from the owners. "He and Charlie are like brothers," the owner, Chelsea Stipe, says of the pair, who are Instagram stars, and you can find them on Instagram at Charlie and Mav. She says, "Charlie has more puppy-like moments now. Maverick has added a little spunk back into his life." And sure enough, here are the two dogs pictured as part of this article. The older one's a little darker in color and obviously a little bigger than the four-month-old puppy. And the little puppy has the bigger one's leash in his mouth, and he's leading the big one along, just like a guide dog would do. Really cute pictures. So as a summary in today's program, I hope you've been impressed with the accomplishments of lawyer Haben Girma, soon to be Dr. Alexandra Adams, and Professor Lauren Lieberman, all trailblazers for people who have disabilities. So to end the program today, I have a quote for you to think about. It's a cute one. It's from an 11-year-old camper at Camp Abilities. His name is Braden, and he said, "I like the camp motto, believe you can achieve. So when I think to myself, I can't do it, I ignore my brain and I say to myself, okay, I'm going to try this. I want to prove my brain wrong, and I do." Braden, an 11-year-old camper at Camp Abilities. I ignore my brain. I love that. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.